I will faithfully rewatch the gathering that we had today. I'll rewatch that tomorrow. And it's funny the times that like Pastor and I are waiting as you guys are visiting, and it's a beautiful thing. But like online, you can't really tell. And so it just looks like that the speaker is just standing here and smiling for no reason. So I'm like, today, as soon as that music stops, I am speaking. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you guys. What a great gathering we've already had. And our focus today is on those who are starting a new chapter. They're closing one and starting another. And so when I was given the information that I'd have the privilege of speaking today, which I'm thankful for, God said, talk to him about the next chapter. And so that's what I'm going to just spend a few minutes doing this morning. The next chapter, what does that look like? Well, for some eighth graders, stepping into high school is a pretty big thing. It's different. The only time that I was able to attend a public high school was for driver's ed. We didn't have it in our Christian school. So I went to Trico for driver's ed. I was scared to death. And wow, we got in the halls, and when the bell rang, you know, I was like, ah! And people were running everywhere, and man, it was nuts. I remember one of the first days I heard the bell ring, and like we were trying to get to our room, and walking through the halls was like shoulder to shoulder, just a lot of people, and kind of getting pushed along. And I got pushed over to the side, so I was kind of hugging the wall, and here we go. And just as I got to the auditorium, the auditorium door flung open and busted me right in the nose. I had glasses, and so that was a lot of fun. And I was like, I don't like high school. This isn't fun. But that was just part of it. So I think that I'm sure that those that we celebrated as far as eighth grade, you guys have great opportunities to succeed and prosper in high school. Those of you finishing high school, and many are, I believe Carter already graduated. Was that last night, Carter? And Katie, was hers last night as well? I don't know. And then Friday, and then Chester is today. And so, you know, you look forward to your high school graduation a good chunk of your life. Like, that's the reason I started kindergarten. So I could get through high school and come to the time where they say, congratulations, you no longer need to attend school. You don't have to anymore. You can now choose to do what you want to do. And then those that were graduating college and moving on to the next chapter, how exciting that is to just be ready to do things as like an official adult out on your own. And so I not only want to speak to those that we honored and we've already spoken of, but I'd like to talk to you guys today about the next chapter. What does that look like? We all have different chapters in life. You know, I think of Jason and I think of Lisa. It's a new chapter for them. And the unknown into that next chapter. What can we learn from God's word that will help us and encourage us and challenge us as we're entering that next chapter? New job. I think you guys are getting ready for a wedding. New chapter. That's going to be a new chapter. What does that look like? So, oh my. That's almost TMI, but that is a new chapter for you. Okay. So I think that we can all somehow relate. We're preparing for a new chapter. Maybe we've just landed. I know, Monica, we've been praying for you for the longest time in your job. And the new chapter finally arrived. And we're rejoicing with you in your new chapter. You know, I mean, that's just kind of how life is. That's just how it is. So today, I'm going to be reading from the book of Nehemiah. And that's a book that we don't hear a lot of. He's an Old Testament fella. And I'm going to be reading from the Message Bible. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to Nehemiah and you can try to follow along. We're going to have the verses up on the screen as we talk about the next chapter today. And the first thing that I want you to see as you enter the next chapter of life is the vision is revealed. Okay? The new job, you see it. This is where I am. This relationship, this new chapter, this is where I am. This new form, this new area, relocation, education. The vision is revealed. And such was the case in Nehemiah's life. Nehemiah was a Jew, but he had been taken captive, and he now served in a foreign land as a cupbearer to the king. Now, you had certain responsibilities as a cupbearer. But one important responsibility was when you came before the king, you better be smiling. It was very important. Those who served before the king and didn't smile were beheaded. So your options were smile or be killed. Okay? I will choose the first. I will smile. So Nehemiah comes before the king, and I'm just giving you a little preface to this story. Nehemiah comes before the king with the cup, presents it to the king, and the king said, Nehemiah, you're not smiling. And Nehemiah was very afraid because he didn't really realize it. He was so preoccupied with the fact that he was thinking about Israel, his home country that had been destroyed, that the houses were destroyed, that people were carried captive, and that the gates of the city lay in rubbish. And so he told the king, as soon as the king said, you're not smiling, Nehemiah said, oh king, live forever. I am so sorry. My heart is preoccupied with this vision that God has put in my life. And the vision is that I want to go back to Jerusalem and I want to help build the gates of our city. And so in Nehemiah 2:5, it says this. Nehemiah said, if it please the king, and if the king thinks well of me, send me to Judah, to the city where my family is buried, so that I can rebuild it. Later he says, Nehemiah said to the people, face it, we're in a bad way here. Jerusalem is a wreck. Its gates are burned up. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem and not live with this disgrace any longer. And the people said, we are with you, Nehemiah. Let's get started. So they rolled up their sleeves and were ready for the good work. So the vision is revealed, and everybody gets behind a vision, usually. You get this excitement. You get this passion. I'm going to go off, and I'm going to be in a new college down in Mississippi, and this is going to be awesome, and my family is supporting me, and I've got friends that are cheering me on, and here I go. And everybody's like, yeah, go, Savannah. You got this. We're here. Woo-hoo, rooting you on. And so you get excited during the vision, okay? And the people got excited, and even the king got excited and said, Nehemiah, go. Do it. I love it when it says they roll up their sleeves. They said, let's get to work. Where do you need me? Let's do this. So your vision is revealed. And this is a good thing. Because the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. So you better have a vision. If you are living life for just getting up and reading the newspaper in the morning, do they still make newspapers? Okay. You need another vision. You need something to get you up in the morning. To love on God, to love on people is a great vision. That's a great purpose in life. How can I serve God? And how can I bless others today? So during the time that your vision is revealed and your next chapter is open, I have three things that I want to share with you guys real quick this morning. The first thing I want you to see is the importance of I want you to be purposed. To purpose in your heart, this is the direction I'm going. Let's look at Nehemiah 4:6. Nehemiah travels back to Jerusalem, back to Israel, and he says, we kept at it, repairing and rebuilding the wall. The whole wall was soon joined together and halfway to its intended height because the people had a heart for for the work. In your next chapter, you need to be purposed. You need to show determination. You need to do something that's really tough on me. Self-denial. All right? Because the ice cream is calling me constantly. Because the donuts look ever so appealing. But if I'm going to get to where I want to be, I need to purpose in my heart that that's not good. I need to have a heart to work and to sacrifice, to do everything that I can in my power. And I have to be careful here, because God is calling us to be purposed, but he's calling us to realize that it is in his timing and in his purpose and in his will. In Ephesians 6:13, the Bible tells us about the armor of God, and it says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand." See, we're not just walking through this life saying, "Well, God, you just do everything for me. You just bless others. Do that for me. I want to succeed. Just give me success. I want to prosper at college. Just give me success." Now, there's a truth there, but God's telling us we have a part to play. We're not just robots, and we're not just willy-nilly. Having done everything that you can possibly do, continue to stand. My dad would say, keep on keeping on. Don't quit. Be purposed. Be determined. Have your eyes fixed and set. We see this very same attitude when Jesus said, we must needs go through Samaria in John chapter 4, because he had to get to the woman at the well. Now, you could have went around, you could have went another way, but he told his disciples, we must needs go through Samaria. He had his eyes fixed. He had his heart purposed. He knew there was a job for him to do, and you weren't going to talk him out of it. We don't have the full details, but Peter probably was like, really? Can't we just go another way? Like, I don't want to go through Samaria. Weird people live there. I don't like those people. Jesus said, we're going. This is how it is. It's also the same attitude we see in Ruth when Naomi said, Ruth, go on back to your home. Don't stay with me anymore. Go on back. And the Bible says Ruth was steadfastly minded. You weren't changing her mind. I've heard pastors say before, you can try and try and try. You are never going to be able to convince him that he's not going to heaven. It's fixed in his heart. You know that you know. Your knower knows. You can tell me all you want that the world is flat. You can tell me that. I'm convinced that it's not. You can tell me all you want that there's no Jesus, that there's no God, that he doesn't love me, that he doesn't have a plan for my life. Tell me that all you want. I know better. My Redeemer lives, and he wants me to be the head and not the tail. He's got a plan for me, and he has a plan for you. So you get determined, you get focused. And not only do you get purposed, but you get prepared. I could spend weeks in this point. This one was going to be tough. I told Jenny, I said, if I go too long, you let me know. Cut. Because I could let you guys know that this is the one that gets in my spirit the most. Be prepared. What are we going to be prepared for? We'll know this. In your quest, in your vision, in your next chapter, adversity is a given. It's a given. Don't be shocked. Don't be surprised. The book of Nehemiah refers and names a couple guys five different times. Their names were Sanballat and Tobiah. And these guys weren't someone that you'd find on your team. I'm just going to read a few verses as quickly as I can. In Nehemiah 2:10, it said, when Sanballat and Tobiah heard about this, the building of the gates, they were very upset, angry that anyone would come to look after the interests of the people of Israel. Well, don't they sound like just cheery fellas? In verse 19 of chapter 2, it says, when Sanballat and Tobiah heard about it, they laughed at us, mocking, saying, ha, what do you think you're doing? See, your vision isn't everyone else's vision. Know that. And not everybody's going to be on your team. Nehemiah 4, 1 through 3, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he exploded in anger and he let loose. I love those people that just let loose on you. Those are great Jesus people. Man, just love those people in my life that, you know, they just tell me what they think. You never have to guess what they're thinking. They tell me. He let loose. What are these miserable Jews doing? Do they think they can get everything back to normal overnight? At his side, Tobiah jumped in. Well, sure. There's always a silly sidekick hanging around somewhere. That's right. What do they think they're building? Why, if a fox climbed that wall, it would fall to pieces under its weight. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us in the midst of the Sanballats and Tobiahs. Last one, Nehemiah 4, 7, and 8. When Sanballat and Tobiah heard that the repairs of the wall in Jerusalem were going so well and that the breaks in the wall were being fixed, they were absolutely furious. Oh, and this is when it gets really good, guys. Look at this. So they put their heads together and decided to fight against Jerusalem and create as much trouble as they could. Wow, Pastor, that sounds like people we want here, right? I mean, you just want those people lined up at your door, ready to meet with you every day. Their mindset is, how much trouble can we cause? Proverbs 1 talks about these guys. Solomon said, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. These people can't go to sleep unless they've caused some trouble. Look at that. The Bible says they looked and seen, and their goal was to create as much trouble as they could. Guys, adversity's coming. I'm sorry. I hope that it's minimal in high school. I hope that it's minimal in college. I hope you guys get great professors that love Jesus and love you for loving Jesus. That would be phenomenal. In your new job, I hope you're right next to somebody that loves Jesus more than you. In your relationship, I hope the person in your relationship is chasing Jesus more than you are. And just says, come on, follow me. We're chasing Jesus. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever chapter you find yourself in, I pray that's the case, but don't be shocked to know that adversity is right around the corner. Man, Nehemiah was doing a great thing, but he encountered adversity. He also encountered complaining. Complaining is around every corner. Look at verse 10 of chapter 4. Soon word was going around in Judah. Here's the word going around as they were building the walls. The builders are pooped. The rubbish piles up. We're all in over our heads. We can't build this wall. Oh, great. This spirit so reminds me of a group of people that were released from captivity after 450 years. And God miraculously delivered them away from their slavery. And in the midst of all the miracles and provision that God was doing, they found it in their heart to do what? Complain. Wow. I can see this wall being built day after day. People are blood, sweat, and tears right there. Just going at it. But a few people get going. And they're the naysayers and the complainers and the negative people. They're the half glass empty people, okay? We can't do this. We can't. We can't. It's too hot. I'm too tired. I got a hangnail. I can't do it. Complaining. Adversity. Also, to be prepared to expect the unexpected. Bree and I were talking right before church Bree was telling me about. I hope it's okay that I share this. It's good news. Bree got a scholarship for next year. And yeah, and she's happy. Mom and Dad's probably happier. But she said, here's the kicker. She said, I found out about the scholarship a little late. Was it the day of or the day before? Day of. So here she's, you know, trying to get this thing filled out ASAP and hoping for good things. And good things did come. But here's my point to this. Expect the unexpected. She didn't wake up that morning probably with that on her mind at all. But we need to realize that unexpected things do happen. And I try never to be surprised. Sometimes it happens. I try to be prudent to see what is likely to happen and giving careful thought and acting and planning. But there are times that the unexpected comes. Nehemiah says this in chapter 4. Our enemies learned that we knew about their plan and that God had frustrated it. And we went back to the wall and went to work. And remember, Sanballat and Tobiah have already said that we're going to cause as much trouble as possible. And part of that trouble was we're raising up people to go fight against the workers. We want to kill them, so they're going to stop the work. Nehemiah said, from then on, half of my young men worked while the other half stood guard with lances, shields, bows, and mail armor. Military officers served as backup for everyone in Judah who was at work rebuilding the wall. The common laborers held a tool in one hand and a spear in the other. Each of the builders had a sword strapped to his side as he worked. I kept the trumpet at my side to sound the alert. In the midst of this great work going on, the unexpected that was thrown at Nehemiah was this. First of all, half of your workforce is now out because they're going to have to serve as watchmen to make sure that we're not ambushed. The other unexpected thing is that those that are working, you're going to have to work with a sword on. Now, I'm not a huge builder or laborer. I think of a while back, Jeremy, I got a chance to help you at Jeff's house. We were pouring some concrete. That's already been a while back. But, you know, I mean, it was challenging. As it's coming off the truck, you got to, you know, get things, get it spread. Move it more over here, and it's coming off fast, and you're just moving quick. Just in the short amount of time that we worked, I was sweating, and the next day I was a little sore. I can't imagine doing it all with a sword strapped to me. You know, get low and try to spread this out. Ugh, sword's in my way. The unexpected happened. Not only did half the workers have to become watchmen, now every other worker has a sword. The Bible says there was even times where they had a tool in one hand and a sword in the other. It's hard to scratch your nose that way. It's hard to stop and take a drink that way. The unexpected in Nehemiah's great vision and his work has just been thrown at him, and he's to the point where he has to carry a trumpet with him wherever he goes, because when he blows the trumpet, everyone gathers together to fight. Expect the unexpected. The professor says, oh, by the way, huge exam tomorrow morning. What? Wasn't expecting that. The unexpected comes. Be as prepared as you possibly can for the good, the bad, and the ugly. My last point, be powerful. You need to be purposed, and you need to be prepared, but you need to be powerful. Nehemiah 4:9 says, we countered, I like that. It's like a war term, or maybe you're playing chess. I'm going to counter this move. How did they counter the enemy? We countered with prayer to our God and set a round-the-clock guard against them. After looking things over, Nehemiah says, I stood up and I spoke to the nobles, the officials, and everyone else, saying, don't you be afraid of them. Put your minds on the Master, who is great and awesome. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Peter only sank when he took his eyes off Jesus. He had been given the power to walk on the water, but he doubted and he was afraid. And the Bible tells us, don't be afraid. Now, I've heard something over my life, and maybe you guys have heard this too. I have heard it said that 365 times in the Bible, it says, do not be afraid or fear not, one for each day of the week. I thought, that's really, really cool. I didn't want to take it at face value, so I searched it and tried it out myself. I found about 140, which is still huge. If God's going to tell you something 140 times, I'm hoping we're taking the hint. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Acts 1:8 says you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You'll be able to be witnesses of me to the uttermost parts of the earth. We have a power in us as God's children. We have power in our tongue, so be careful what you say. I want to be a life speaker. Even in the midst of adversity, I want to be like, you got this. You can do this. God's with you. He is carrying you. His everlasting arms are upholding you. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. So be careful what you say. Be quick to say good and virtuous and holy and proper and truthful things. And then we sang about it this morning. There are two other kinds of power that the enemy cannot stand before. It's power in the name of Jesus, and it's power in the blood sacrifice that he made on the cross of Calvary. And we've been given that power, but if you are not taught and you're not prepared and studying and knowing that you have that power, it's like having $1 million in the bank that no one told you about. You can't use it. You have been given authority. You have been given strength. You have been given the power to overcome. And today's gathering has been a central theme. We want to applaud and congratulate those who are opening a new chapter. But not only that, we want to support and love and encourage those that are opening a new chapter. We want to do it with the words that we say, with the smile on our face, with the songs that we sing. We want to bless. We want to set things in motion of God working good in your life. So I want to invite you guys to stand with us. We're going to sing one of the most powerful songs that I've ever been introduced to. And we want to sing this over each other. We want to trust that God is working in our lives. When your vision is revealed, be purposeful, be prepared, be powerful. Let's sing about some of that. Let's use the power that God's given us this morning.
Shine upon you and be gracious. on you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children.
Led to do something. If you were up here earlier and we honored you as moving on to the next chapter, I want you and any of your family that's here, if you guys would please come forward, we just want to sing this over you. And it's not only these graduates, it's not only their families. See, their families are starting a new chapter too. They don't have that person there anymore if they're going away to college. It's going to be different at their house if they're going into high school. I not only want to invite these that we've honored, but if you are listening to me and you are starting a new chapter and you say, wherever, I'm moving, I'm going to start a new relationship, I'm starting a new job, there's something going on in my life that I haven't even told anyone, but I know it's the next chapter. I want you to come forward too, because I want you in on this blessing. I want the spoken word to wash over you. Everyone else that's in this building, I want you to pray this song. And I want you to proclaim life and strength and success and prosperity and favor and grace over these that are up here as they're starting their next chapter. We sing. We sing. Of God be upon you in your next chapter. May you experience a deeper, stronger relationship with the Lord, one that perhaps you've not known before, because you only see him as a healer when you're walking through sickness. You only see him as a provider when you have a need. You only see him in the next chapter because it's different than what you've walked through before. So his favor be upon you. We We support you guys. We love you guys. Father, we just thank you. Everybody that's up here this morning, God, you know the next chapter. You know the fear, the doubt, the questioning, but none of that is of you. God, we trust in you as they put one foot in front of the other, as they open doors, as they go into new adventures. God, you're with them. I love the line. You are for us. The enemy wants us to be convinced that you are not, but you are. God, these that are here, they're the apple of your eye. When they get up in the morning, you're excited. You're thankful for them. Your word tells us that you sing over your children. God, we're excited about the adventure, the new chapter, and we look forward to good reports of what you're doing in lives. And we give you praise this day. And everybody said, amen, amen. Let it be, let it be. God bless you guys. Have a great, great day. You are dismissed.